Pittsburgh's gone to the Super Bowl. Here we go.
Shut Bateman, the receiver's out for the Ravens. Pressure from the Steelers. Jackson throws, complete, and downfield for the touchdown is DeVontez Walker. Third and six, Rasheen Ali is the back, picks up the pressure for the moment. Now he cannot get away. Nick Herbig has Jackson for the sack. Smith in motion, hits, Gainwell tries to cut it inside, not going to get there! Aloe Gilman says no! The Steelers are denied! Hayward again, pushed in, flag comes down, he has broken the plane, he's in the end zone, we'll check the flag, it's ruled a touchdown. Lamar Jackson, had it rejected, intercepted on the deflection! T.J. Watt! Highsmith deflected it! Watt has his second pick of the year! And the Steelers are in business! Third and four. Steelers bring four. Highsmith is there. Jackson got away. Now reloads and throws to Flowers downfield. He's got it for a touchdown! Handling bottom of the screen. It's Gainwell, running right, trying to get to the corner, in for the touchdown!
Shot.
Third and one, fake to Henry Jackson. Shot downfield, Zay Flowers again! Zay Flowers inside the 20, he's gonna go! Rodgers protected, throws to Austin for the touchdown! It's fourth and seven, season on the line. Jackson lofting it up, and it is caught, held on to by Isaiah Likely at the 22-yard line. The final play of the regular season for the final spot in the playoffs. Tyler Luke from 44. Snap good. Holman, the kick is no good. It is wide right, and the Steelers are the champions of the North.
Roger Wood with the Here We Go song, NBC Sports on the call, Bob Pompeiani in the house. Bob.
What a game.
This is why we lift all them weights. What a game. What an epic, just legendary, where were you that night 30 years from now type of game. This is what sports is all about. And the madness and really the idiocy of us all is on the line as that football hangs in the air. It's Scott Norwood all over again. The ball goes through the uprights. The Bills are a dynasty. The ball goes 2 inches wide right, and suddenly Bill Belichick's game plan is in the Hall of Fame. Even though the Bills scored 20 points in 19 minutes on the field, or 19 and 20. Yesterday, that ball is in the air. If it goes through the uprights, these lines are lit today with get rid of Tomlin. What are we doing here? And everything else. And who knows, maybe justifiably so. But the ball didn't go through the uprights, so we're all in a state of giddiness, and rightfully so. And rightfully so. Who cares what anybody's prediction was? Who cares how you felt in the first 5 minutes of the game? Who cares how you felt when Isaiah Likely came down with that ball? This is pro sports. And this, my friend, is a day to celebrate, because that was an epic football game.
Totally. And it's just another chapter in this crazy series that is Baltimore-Pittsburgh. It's funny how this goes. In all these games, it seems like when the Ravens and the Steelers play, both teams do enough to lose, yet both teams do enough to win.
Yes.
They both made mistakes. They both had blown coverages. All these things occurred. They both had kickers missing things. Who would have thought Chris Boswell, who was 90 for his last 90 in point after touchdowns,
oh my God,
would miss? And then who would have thought, although he is a rookie, Tyler Loop, 29 for 29 this season inside
that
of 50.
That one I did think, Bob, and I do have receipts to prove that.
So I
sent to people in my family and to Ravens fans I know and to Jason Bumbliss, the head basketball coach at Beaver, and it's all time stamped. 100% this kick is blocked or this guy misses.
You know,
the Ravens, I think I added, the Ravens could screw up a lemonade stand.
I think both could. you know, in terms of that stuff that was happening in that game. I also thought I was watching very closely because strange things happen with those things, and there was a leverage possibility. I was looking at the middle of that.
There was.
And if they had called that, I would have just given up and said, you know what? Take the officials with you. They can't call everything that
decides
plays.
Well, then you would have known how people felt in Baltimore when the Steelers got the benefit of that
right.
horrible call.
I'm just saying, those things do exist. But for the most part, I thought the refs stay out of it. There are always going to be controversial calls or questionable calls. But, man, that second half. And I got to tell you that Aaron Rodgers, because he's here, is because they won. And because he is who he is, they believe. They really do believe that now they have a chance to do something. Even though they're going to be underdogs again next week.
Which I think is ridiculous that they're 3.5-point underdogs. I'm going to go on the record right now, and we'll talk about it later. The Steelers are going to win this game.
I said that last night.
They're going to win this game, and I'll tell you why. Because the Texans are coming here with a very questionable offense. You come to Pittsburgh this time of year without a running game and with a questionable offensive line and with a healthy Steeler defense, I think you're in trouble. And I know the Texans might have the best defense in the league, but I think Aaron Rodgers and the Hunt and Peck offense with two running backs who can play, just punt. I think if they don't turn the ball over, like this is a classic Tomlin game plan game. Just don't turn it over. And I think the Steelers' defensive front is going to wreck the Texans' offensive front. And that's what's going to win the game. But we have a game to celebrate before that one, Bob.
Yes, we do. And I agree with what you said. And even guys like Logan Lee are getting involved. Batted pass. I thought Keanu Benton played all those guys up front. And it all starts there with Cam Hayward. Let's make no mistake. He's the guy who has them believing and playing well. I think Derek Harmon swears by that guy, and they were really good last night. Now, having said all of
they
that.
They were good up front. They were disastrous in the
that's
back
That's what
end.
I was talking about, the defensive line.
But they ain't facing Lamar this week.
No. They're also taking on a guy who has a lot more scramble ability than Lamar is willing to show right now. That could be another difference in this game for them. Because C.J. Stroud can move, and he will move out of the pocket. Their run game hasn't been all that good. But forget about that for now. The key to this game, too, Joe, for me, was third down conversions. As bad as the Steelers were in Cleveland on this topic, they were lights out last night. All of the scoring plays that you saw, including the one that made a 10-10, the Connor Hayward, the brothers push, it was a 3rd and 10 to Pat Freiermuth. They were all big-time conversions, and they weren't 3rd and short. They were 3rd and medium to long.
Yes.
9 for 16. They outperformed the Ravens in that department. That was key. If those don't happen, then you know they end up punting instead of getting points.
Now, the biggest play in the game, you could argue, was Kyle Hamilton leaving, but the
yes.
Steelers have dealt
they
with,
took advantage
with all
of
kinds.
That.
They didn't have DK Metcalf. They've been dealing with all kinds of things. So it was there for both teams. And in the end, I have to credit the Steelers. And I have to credit Mike Tomlin on this front, Bob. I thought he came last night and played to win. And people were ripping him for going for the touchdown at the end of the first half. I was not. I don't think the result of a situation indicates whether you were right or wrong. I don't play that game, the hindsight game. I love the fact that he went for it. Now, the play call, we could question, but he didn't waver from that for the whole game. He was going for fourth down early. They got stopped on the brotherly shove. They got stopped at the goal line, but sure enough, on the first drive of the second half, he went for it again, and this time they got it. And then defensively, and I'm looking at the play right now, his game plan was we're going to make Lamar throw the ball to beat us. And every single person, or I'll say 98% of the people listening to this show right now would have agreed with that game plan. And I know Henry got off a little bit in the first half. They held him to 14 yards in the second half. They had a 5-man front for almost the whole time, and they said, Lamar, go ahead and beat us if you can with the pass. And to his credit, he was great, but I didn't fault the game plan. I faulted some of the execution. I mean, Tomlin can't make the sack on Lamar. Alex Highsmith and Benton had him in their
grasp.
That
was a great Lamar play.
It was a great play.
I'm not going to blame them so much as I'm going to say he made that thing happen.
Sure. And listening to this station all last week, because I sure wasn't here, Bob, except for one day, almost everybody said they're better off with Tyler Huntley. The Steelers have a better chance with Lamar in the game than Tyler Huntley. I think that went out the window. But if you asked all those people last week, you think the game plan should be to let Lamar beat you through the air if he can? Everybody would have said yes. So I don't blame the defensive game plan. I think it's what you said. a combination of Lamar and some bad execution by players, not coaches.
Right, exactly. And listen, I think the whole thought process was Lamar Jackson, we didn't know he was going to practice all week. He had been dealing with a bad back, which is a tough thing, and you can see he's apprehensive to run. I thought the thought there was, well, if he's not close to 100%, you'd be better off with Huntley, who can duplicate, plus it, you know, it focuses on Derrick Henry. But I will say, the Steelers have this way of dealing with Baltimore, and they've done it repeatedly. And they, after that one first run, which was 41 yards, turned to 26 because of a penalty, they did a dynamic job on Henry. They
pretty
really
much,
did.
Pretty
they,
much.
They
yeah.
did not let him get going. He had a one other run, and that was it. The rest of it was, you're right, let's go down the field. But the problem there is, I don't know if it's miscommunication or whatever, you can't allow that stuff to go on. That, they had three touchdown passes in that game, Joe. They were uncontested, all three, wide
yeah,
open.
I know.
It's
because
crazy.
Because they didn't get to the quarterback on those plays, or he, well, and he got out of it. Part of me feels bad for Lamar. I'm looking at him right now holding his head at the post game. He's a classy guy when they come up short, even in the most devastating of circumstances, and he's unbelievably fun to watch. But Aaron Rodgers in some way stole the show here, Bob. Both times
totally.
In the fourth quarter, both times they fell behind. He was almost perfect. I think he was 8 of 10 for 100 yards and a touchdown after
no,
that.
No, in the fourth quarter last night, 11 for 14, 133, one touchdown and a 130 passer.
There you go.
How about that for the fourth quarter? And this was before that. There were some throws that you said, wow, that guy, how can he make that throw? He's not the same.
Right.
Couldn't get to the outside to get a first down because he's too slow. All these things were, and people saying that's, even Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth were wondering about that. And then when it came down to it, he turned it on. Give him a lot of credit with a broken wrist. He still battled through that. Took a real hard hit at the one time from behind, stayed in there and made great throws. And I think his receivers really believe if you're in his good graces, especially in practice, he's going to go to you in critical times. And I was glad they finally, you got to unleash Freiermuth even more. I think he is such a weapon.
There it is. Right there, Bob. Look at that. 31 yards down the seam. You're not going to see many better throws than that. You're just not. And here's Aaron Rodgers on a 20-yard run. If you would have told me before the game that he would have more rushing yards than Lamar, I would have said
bet.
You were crazy.
You would have made some money.
But you know what? Limits, how are you today? I'm sorry I didn't welcome you in earlier. We're in a state of giddiness here.
Fellas, it's great to be here. The atmosphere at the game was electric last night.
Tell us about that.
Early on, though, it was
they were loaded
when it was 10-0. We heard what we heard.
We heard booze.
Walking to the game, and I park downtown and walk over the bridge. It was dead. Like usually, right around PNC Park, there's a lot of tailgating going on and stuff like that. It was quiet. It was pretty quiet leading up to it. Things started to pick up about an hour before the game, and like 10 minutes before the game, there were a lot of empty seats. But then once you got into the game, and the 10-0 deficit, there were slight boos. But when they were able to put together a field goal, the start of the second half, jubilant crowd into it, probably the most into it that they've been in a very long time.
TJ Watt said he maybe has never heard it like that. Have you limits? You go to games fairly regularly, don't you?
Not as loud as like big-time college atmospheres that I've been in, but for Steeler games, yes. That was the loudest it's been probably since a Sunday Night Football game years ago that I can't even recall.
He just hit on a key, Bob, and I want to mention this real early because I think it actually turned the game around, if I'm being honest. They get stopped on the brotherly shove, and the Ravens are moving the ball. They have all the early momentum. It's 7-0. They look like they're going to make it 14-0. And then who took over that series but Derek Harmon? And I'm not sure he didn't save two touchdowns in a row. On second down, they showed the Derrick Henry run up the middle, Bob, and they showed it from a bird's eye view, and there was maybe one or two guys in the secondary that Henry would have either run over or had to evade. It was going to be a big run and maybe a touchdown run. Derrick Harmon steps in and stands him up like he's an oversized Bobby Spillane at the goal line. That was an incredible play. And on the next play, Lamar gets out to the right, and with a cutback, he might score. Collinsworth said it on the replay. He might have scored. Who chases him down but Derek Harmon?
Who's that remind you of?
Joe Green. The Derek Harmon series.
Down the field. Yeah, that's the same thing.
Too.
That rubs off on him.
The Derek Harmon series helped to change that game around because they kept it to a field goal and 10-0. And then the offense started to get better. And even the drive at the end of the first half, there's 3.5 minutes left or so, and they have it at their own 9. They give up the ball there. The Ravens may score at least a field goal. Instead, they drive it all the way down the field and take up the rest of the half. And even though they don't score there, they get stopped at the goal line. I think that went a long way toward A, them realizing that this defense was there to be carved up. B, wearing down the Ravens defense. And then C, they get the ball to open the second half and go right down the field and score.
Yeah, no question about that. I mean, being transparent, I thought they should have kicked the 3 at the end of the first half, only because it seemed at that point like points were going to be hard to get.
I loved it.
Well, it worked. It worked in the sense that, you know, they had the momentum from that drive. But what I'm saying is, if that pass interference call is not called,
yeah,
it would have been an automatic decision to go for 3 at that point. That worked in Baltimore's favor. They got a PI, a defensive PI, which then changed the thought process, and then the play call, they should have not gone with that play. He should have, it looked like it was never going to work based on what they called, but they never, you know, swung out of it. So
I know, but if you told me again, and I think again, hindsight, you know, everybody's saying that. If you told me it was a 2-on-1 with the Ravens, but that Gainwell would have to beat a guy, like if that was the design of the play, like, all right, Gainwell's going to have to beat one guy. Well, one guy was supposed to be getting blocked and did kind of get blocked. I'm not saying Gainwell made a bad play, but if you would have told me before the play that Gainwell's going to have to beat a guy, I like my chances with that.
But I also thought they doubled down, and they should have, on Jaylen Warren. Every time that guy runs the football, good things happen. Even when there's nothing apparently available, he makes something available. He is just the Energizer Bunny of running backs. He keeps on going and keeps on driving. I just think that team believes now, Joe. And my biggest takeaway from this whole thing is the belief. They believe now they got here. They got to win a playoff game or two still. Because this is almost like last year, 10-7, get to the playoffs, you can't afford to lose given the history.
Well, guess what, Bob? Guess what? They're going to be playing the Buffalo Bills in the second round right here.
So you think Buffalo will go to Jacksonville and win?
Yes, I do. The Bills are favored by 1.5, I might add. And the Steelers have a chance. What was true,
it's wide open. Absolutely.
Remains true. The AFC is wide open. New England didn't quite look the same down the stretch. They've got injuries. Nobody believes in Denver, not even me.
Well, and in Denver all year.
As a team that would win the AFC West, yeah.
You were Bo Nix's best friend for most of the year.
Don't get me wrong. I still like Denver. I'm saying nobody believes in them, and nobody would be surprised if they lost a game here.
From that point of view, you have – this is Josh Allen's. If ever there was a path for him to get to a Super Bowl –
he's coming here in round two, Bob.
Okay, this is the time. There's no Burrow.
He's coming here in round two.
There's no Jackson. There's no Mahomes. There's nobody stopping him. Unless Buffalo's defense stops themselves, which could very well happen.
Could happen.
Yeah, but
it could. And that's
Jacksonville,
the point.
You're underrating Jacksonville. I think the way they're playing, man, they have
You picking them?
I pick Jacksonville to win that game, yeah.
Okay.
I think
you're picking
them
to
game.
Win this game. All right.
But I understand what you're saying, that Josh Allen could take this team on his shoulders and make it work with a good run game, too.
For one game, anyway. Yeah. I think the Steelers may go here, Bob. I'm not saying to the Super Bowl again. I had to laugh when Kabali was bringing up receipts on fans from when Aaron Rodgers got here. Hey, none of us have receipts that work anymore. No host on this station, no fan listening, no media person, no fan anywhere can currently hold up a receipt and say, I told you so. Kabali was picking the Dolphins to win a few weeks ago. The fans were ready to boo the team out of the building last night, justifiably so. The only people right now who rightfully can hold up a receipt and say I told you so, are the Steelers themselves. And not even them yet until they actually compete and come close to winning a playoff game. So we're a receiptless town, Bob, but we're a giddy town today. And not just for the Steelers. I think this is the best this sports city has felt and should feel in a long time. What a radical turn of events. Penguins back in playoff position. What a goal by Sid yesterday. What a thrilling comeback. What a combination of young and old to create a chemistry that is better than the sum of its parts. The Pirates have gone out and gotten two people who can actually hit a baseball. There's real hope with the Pirates. And then to cap it all off, the Steelers. Yesterday was a great sports day. The past couple weeks, well, there's been ups and downs with the Steelers, no doubt about that. But this time, right now, today, what's the date limits? January 4th?
5th.
5th. January 5th, 2026.
2026, and I just wrote about this for the Post-Gazette this morning, Bob, is a day to feel great if you're a Pittsburgh sports fan. Things have turned on all three of our pro sports teams.
And as I always say, I've said it for years, sports is the best reality television you can get. You can talk about shows that are on and people watch. This, you don't know what you're going to get from this. Every single time there's a big game, and it can go one of two ways, and things change. You can't script anything better than what we saw in that game last night. And you're right, the Penguins are a great story. I've been talking about them, and I think what they did over the weekend, over the last week, should not be underplayed. But unfortunately, they're going up against the Steelers on a hot, you know, going into the playoffs, so they won't get the time. But, man, that's a great job Dan Muse has done, and the Pirates, you're right, but they need to do more. They have one more bat to get, and they better get it.
They better get it. We had stories not long ago, justifiable stories about are these the dark ages of Pittsburgh sports? They were. We were talking about Sid being traded. We were booing Renegade. We were talking about the Pirates. They didn't do anything at the winter meetings. What is happening here? This is only going to get worse and worse and worse. Nobody's won a significant game in 8 years around here. And then suddenly, things change.
Hope.
Things look up.
Hope is a big thing.
You ready for this number?
It's the greatest currency in all of sports. It's all we really want is hope. And now we have it in abundance.
Legitimate hope. Not just hope that, oh, it's a new season.
We have hope, Bob. Yes.
This is legitimate hope. As you head into the postseason.
Bob, from OptiStats, there have been over 60,000 field goal attempts in NFL history. Tyler Loop's miss on Sunday is the only one of those attempts that came as time expired in the fourth quarter in the final week with both teams' playoff hopes resting on the kick.
Wow. And who could have thought the entire season would end that way? That was the last game of the regular season. It was the last kick of the regular. It was the last everything. But you know what? I got to say this too because it annoys me. The social media stuff and what this kid is going through right now.
Ugh.
I mean, somebody should step in on this site, all these sites, and just say enough. It's bad enough he missed that kick, but he had made every single one of them in that distance all season long.
He missed badly, and I had a feeling.
Death threats and all this kind of stuff that goes on. People grow up.
Yeah.
Stop acting like an a-hole, because that's exactly what that is.
Well, that's sports these days on every level. It's just people acting out, and it's sickening. Anyway, Bob, I thought he was going to miss the field goal. I thought he was going to miss or it would get blocked, because that's really become the Ravens story. Do you think Harbaugh survives this?
That's a good question. It's funny. I was telling Mueller, he was in our showdown. He came and watched the game last night. And as it went down, I said, you know what's going to happen here, don't you? Steelers are going to score. Boswell's going to miss his first extra point. Ravens have three timeouts. They're going to drive in. Loop's going to get a chance. And I thought he'd make it. It was heading in that direction until that kick. Anyway, what was your question?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
How about Boswell's kick? I was writing and I looked down. It was good. I mean, it was right down the middle, inside.
Right.
It was like a golf slice. How did that miss?
I don't know, but it really moved. There was no wind, right, at that point.
Austin. Because that was the end zone that I was in, there was no wind. There was no precipitation. No,
but it was the end zone that the priest had gone.
That's what I was just going to say.
And start spraying that holy water. If you don't believe,
you better
believe.
Do we know who the priest is yet, Bob?
I saw his name. We should get him on the show.
Who's the priest, Limits? Find it out and let's get him on the show. The entire town has been sprinkled in holy water suddenly.
Yeah, I don't know, but he's welcome at my church anytime.
Does that happen regularly at games, Bob? Is that a ritual or is that just last night?
I don't know, but I've never seen that. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. But the point is, they made a big deal about it at the beginning of the broadcast, too. Here he is sprinkling this stuff.
Right. To the same end zone where the kick was missed.
Insane.
Literally a football miracle. What a night. What a game. I barely slept, Bob.
Me too.
The game was so riveting in the fourth quarter. I couldn't believe what was transpiring before my eyes.
And before that, you thought to yourself, oh, this is going to be one of those typical ugly Ravens teams. Because the first half had no momentum, nothing. And all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, things start going crazy. And I think you're right when you're one of your first points, and we saw it last night play out. Kyle Hamilton goes out, and that Ravens defense is not the same without him. And the Steelers, to their credit, went in that direction a lot.
They did, and they were playing without their offense isn't the same without DK Metcalf. You know, you got to find a way to survive.
Does anyone feel better about anything than DK Metcalf and them winning that game? Because if they didn't win that game, that was going to be a big topic, you know. But good, now he has a chance to come back.
Well, I was going to ask you, if that kick goes through, what's the number one topic other than DK? What's the number one topic
from
the game?
It's probably the future of Mike Tomlin, which has been talked about for a long time, nationally now more so than ever.
Yeah.
That would be it. And the breakdowns defensively that helped that thing occur.
Probably. You're right about that.
The priest's name is Father Max Maxwell from St. Vincent College.
Oh, well, you
Father
knew it had
Max
to be.
Maxwell.
You knew it had
Find
to,
him, Limits.
Max Maxwell.
Find him.
I got to call Father Paul up there. I know Father Paul. Max came down probably as a guest to Father Paul.
Do you know Max? Father
no,
Max?
No, but I know Father Paul. I don't know Father Max, but I will ask to see if we can do that. That'd be.
This is incredible, Limits. Did you see that happen before the game when you were there? No, he's on the phone. 412-928-9370. Off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Bob, I think all things are coming up Steelers. I do. Cam Hayward's playing maybe the best football of his entire career. He's a physical marvel.
You
I don't know how it's
him
happening.
And just people wondered about, you know, back when he's going through his stuff, this is going to be his last. He's playing as if he could play for another couple of more years at this level. Never doubt him. His play is infectious also with those people around him.
Last year he was either injured or just fading down the stretch. This year it's the opposite. I mean, he is just a monster. And then you combine him with Harmon. And then you
forget Benton.
Benton had a pretty good game. And then you have T.J. Watt, who in the past few years has either been injured or fading down the stretch. He's going to be a week more rested. Alex Highsmith is an absolute beast, plus Herbig. And that's what C.J. Stroud and company are going to face. They're showing up here without a running game, Bob. That's not a good space to be in. It's going to be a totally different game plan than what we saw for the Ravens, where really all the Steelers worried about was the run. This is going to be different. You have DK Metcalf back. You have two effective running backs, and I think an offensive line that played another pretty good game. Freiermuth is back involved in the offense, and most importantly, as you led the show pretty much today, was they have a quarterback, and they have, a quarterback advantage going into this game. And when was the last time you could say that for a Steeler playoff game?
Totally. I mean, that's the whole thing. Rodgers, when they needed him the most, he stepped up with his best play. And, you know, that's why they brought him here, quite frankly. They thought of moments like this, and we'll see how long he keeps that going. But I believe he believes in them. I think, you know, you talk about offensive line. Dylan Cook doesn't get enough credit either. He's basically the third or fourth option over there, and he has played at times with very little help last night. It's not like the Ravens have the best pass rush in the league, but – Dylan Cook acquitted himself well again. And yeah. I thought on a lead block, Flatanu opened the door here for Gainwell to get in on his touchdown.
And McCormick, for sure. Yeah. And by the way, in a related note, shame on the Ravens for not having a pass rush still. All these years later, what are they doing? There's nobody on that team you look at and say, oh my God, we got to double team that guy. What are they doing?
Well, they had Oway. They traded him away, and he's become a sack master out there. I mean, I don't know what happened with him, but, you know, you're right. They didn't put any pressure. Now, this is a different assignment coming up on Monday.
Very different.
That's where the game
could be lost, but I think the Steelers have a smart enough and still good enough quarterback to where he's not going to let them. It's going to be like some of the game plans we've seen where he simply doesn't let the opposing pass rush get started. Like the thing that annoys us all a lot, the quick, get rid of the ball, sideways pass game could actually be very effective in this one.
With those two running backs, absolutely. If you get into their hands, they can turn negatives into positives, and that's something Houston has to be aware of. But it's not always easy to stop when you're trying to get to a quarterback. Now, their advantage in this is that Rodgers is not like a guy who can escape a lot.
Right.
So if they come after him and get there.
Or if they fall behind. Yeah.
Right. Then that whole changes. But I feel very good about this game. I do. I just think the Texans have never been in this situation away from home. When they've won, it's been division titles, and they play at home, Joe. This is a away game on a night where the Steelers have won 23 Monday night home games in a row.
How about this, guys?
Yes.
St. Vincent just called. We're going to be hearing from Father Max in a couple minutes.
Yes, let's go,
How about
Bob!
That?
All right, Paul. I got to text Paul here and say, what? He's amazing.
Limits, you are incredible for this.
They called me.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
One of the members of the athletic department said they love the show, and they're going to try to set us up with Father Max.
We got to get Father Max. That's awesome.
It's a New Year's miracle, Bob.
But Happy New Year, Bob.
You know, St. Vincent College is obviously a big part of the Steelers. It's their home away from home. The Arch Abbey, God rest his soul, when he was there, was a huge fan. Paul's taken over that way, and now Max has become legendary.
Now, I don't think we can call him Max, can we, Bob? What's
we go Father Max.
Limits, when they call, get the proper salutation. I don't want any trouble.
Yeah, Father Max.
Yeah, Father Max, yeah. Right? Okay. Very good.
Maximilian. He was worth a million last night.
I want to know exactly what was poured there, Bob. I imagine some form of holy water. Yeah. I know. But
you know, a lot of guys,
there's got to be more to the story. Was it transported?
I have holy water at home. I get it all the time.
Did he transport this from St. Vincent, from his home field, so to speak? I don't know.
But it worked.
All right. We'll talk to Father Max next, and we want to talk to you on what really, I mean, it just feels like a joyous day. It really does. Doesn't it, Limits? You're beaming.
Incredible.
Today.
And people who are still going to be down, and there will be people who are going to say,
our
this
first
does.
Call will be negative.
But you need to just enjoy the moment. That's why it's important to do this. This is why sports exists. It takes you away from everything. You're sitting there. You're engulfed in this game. You're not, and it's ups and downs, sure. And it's stressful, yes, but it's also a unification, right, Joe? That's the word that comes to mind.
Go.
Sports can unify everyone, no matter who you are, what you say, what you do.
Bob, and given the holy water, a purification.
A purification.
Today.
How about that?
When Luke missed that field goal, you would have thought that they had won the Super Bowl with the amount of hugs and high fives and people in the stadium. It was wild.
What a great
to witness that.
412-928-9370. We'll get to the lines next, and we'll get to Father Max next.